And we're going to skip all the way down to verse number 15. And kind of looking forward to it. I think we're also coming down to the home stretch preaching here on Elijah. But we'll see once we get there. If it, you know, verse number 15. See if you know, if today's the last week or next week or whatever it is the Lord's got for us. You know, we just want to be obedient to Him. So once you found 2 Kings chapter 2, if you please stand. And we're going to read verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, "And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." Good thing. "And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, Behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, Ye shall not send." You'll notice there at the, toward the beginning of verse number 16, I guess kind of more toward the middle, they ask for permission to send these 50 strong men to go seek for Elijah. And while we're not going to deal with it in regards to how those knuckleheads went out and did it, we do want to look this evening at this particular thought. Have you seen Elijah? Heavenly Father, we do thank You for all that You've done for us. And we do pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon this day. And we thank You, Lord, for each and every one that came out here tonight. And it's certainly uplifting to me to get to see everyone here. And Lord, You know I could definitely use that tonight. But Father, we're looking forward to what You've got here for us, Lord. And we thank You, Father, for Your holy Word. As we were reading earlier there, You've given us Your Word so that we can see all these wonderful examples in Your holy Word here. We're not looking at people who are perfect. We're looking at normal human beings just like the rest of us. And getting glimpses of what we can do for You if we'll just trust You more. We'll start putting more faith in You. So thank You, Father, for that. We love You, Lord, and we pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon this sermon. And help me, Lord, please, to present it exactly the way that You'd have me to. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So, we've got this group of men. A bunch of men, Brother John, who they are holy. They're super spiritual. They have followed far off from Jericho over to the Jordan here. You know, they're trying to be respectful to Elijah and Elisha at this particular time. But man, they are spiritual. They are the best group of God's men around. And so they think we've got it on. They think they've got it on like Donkey Kong. The only problem is they really didn't have enough faith. Elijah just got took up to heaven in a fiery chariot with a whirlwind. And they saw this from afar off. And what conclusion did they come to? God dropped Elijah somewhere. He didn't drop Elijah anywhere. He took him on home. Raptured him on out of here. Praise God for those who get to be raptured on out. Now here they want to come to Elisha and say, "Hey, let us go look for him." And they pressure him into doing it and all that. But they also saw the mantle fall from Elijah. And Elisha put it on. They saw that same mantle that had fallen. And Elisha went over to the water and he smacked it. He says, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And the water parted hither and there. He crosses on over, got that mantle, puts it on. Everything's going real good here. They got their eyes off of where Elijah now was. Yeah, he's in heaven. But that mantle, the concept of what Elijah stands for was right there in front of him. A man who's on fire for God. A man who wants to serve the Lord God. And we can see here in Scripture some instances of people who are not Elijah, but people who are willing to serve the Lord. They're going to go through the problems. They're going to have their issues. But if they will just follow what God would have them to do, they'll have that same power and spirit about them. Not to the extent that Elijah did. Okay, please don't misunderstand me. No one's going to sit here and call down fire from heaven. Okay? But maybe sometimes we got to tell someone some bad news that's going to light a little flame under them. Right, brother? Maybe sometimes we're going to tell them something, and I'm telling you, if you keep going down this road, something's going to happen, and we are more or less prophesying. It's just a matter of us having enough wisdom and experience to know, yeah, 2 + 2 = 4. But these things can happen. I want you to notice 4 things here this evening in regards to where we could see Elijah. Run with me quickly over to 2 Chronicles chapter number 21. And again, we're going to do a lot of running this evening. Not as much as we did on Sunday morning, but we're going to do some. 2 Chronicles 21. And when we get over here to 2 Chronicles, one thing to pay attention to is that not a whole lot of the northern kingdom is being dealt with here in 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles. These two books, as they're being compiled, are really trying to deal with the positive aspects of the southern kingdom. But occasionally they got to talk about some of the bad stuff. Occasionally this stuff needs to be brought in order for the narrative to continue. And at this particular juncture in time, Jehoram is on the throne. And he stinks. He's a bad king. Also, it's been 4 to 6 years since Elijah left in that fiery chariot. Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 12. And there came a writing to him from... I think my Bible might be mistaken here. Maybe I got a misprint. This says Elijah. Elijah's gone. He left 4 to 6 years ago. But it says, there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord God of David, thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, thy father, nor in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but hast walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a whoring like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also hast slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which are better than thyself. And we can go on and on with this letter, but the whole point of the matter is that we've got this letter here, a very patient letter that has been sent to this king. Remember, Elijah was a prophet to the northern kingdom. Yet this is going to the king of the southern kingdom. Elijah has been gone 4 to 6 years, but now here is a letter coming. So what happened? Well, I personally don't believe this letter had a heavenly postmark on it. I don't think Gabriel, as he was passing by, walked over there and said, okay, king, I'm here. That letter right there for him, by the way, came from Elijah, and he just kept on going. I don't think it was any of that sort of nonsense. I truly believe that this is a letter. Elijah sat down and he penned this letter before his time came. J. Vernon McGee put it like this: prophecy is supernatural. A prediction projects into the future. That's what makes it prophecy. Elijah writes this letter down. I think he kind of takes that letter, folds it up real good. Maybe he writes on there, deliver at such and such time to Jehoram. He'll be the king of the southern kingdom. Takes his mantle, sticks that letter there right into that inside pocket of his mantle, and gets on a truck. Mantle falls down. Elijah picks it up. He puts it on after he smacks that water. Reaches in there and says, hey, this is that letter that Elijah had wrote. He wants me to wait 4 to 6 years and to deliver this to the southern kingdom's king. His name will be Jehoram. Okay. Say that kind of stuff doesn't happen. Oh, did anybody here see that movie, what was it, Back to the Future Part 2? What happened at the end? Doc Brown got sent into for the old West, the old past there. 60, 70 years even earlier. Writes a letter, takes it there to Western Union, pays for them to wait and to deliver it at a certain time, at a certain place there for Marty to get the letter. Well, Doc Brown knew he was going to be there, didn't he? He had just left there. Did Elijah travel forward in time, see how bad Jehoram was going to be? No, it was prophecy. And God says, write a patient letter to him. Sometimes we're going to have to write something down. Maybe we're not meant to give it right now. Maybe it's for down the road. I don't know how many times I've wrote a note to myself over something. A sermon point. It's something to put in the book. Something I wanted to tell someone about and totally forgot about. I got a drawer at home that's simply marked sermon notes. I don't know what's in it. I haven't opened it in years. One of these days I'm going to. Who knows what kind of sermons I'm going to pull out of there. But for the time being, it hasn't been needed. But I wrote it down when God gave it to me. We learn stuff. We may not need it right then and there. But it'll be for a time down the road. You'll pick up something during church service. You pick up something during the Sunday school. You pick up something during a devotional. You see something there on Facebook. Whatever the case is, during your Bible study. However it is. And it makes absolutely no sense why that is sticking with you at the moment. But then down the road. Duh. Light bulb just came on. Now I know. Now I know why I went through that horrible experience so that I can help this person not go through it. Now I know why I got this knowledge so that I can take care of it now. God uses patient letters, and that's just a type of Elijah coming in our lives. And please forgive me for constantly mispronouncing his name tonight. Usually I'm better though. I don't know. I just one of those things, I guess. But aside from patient letters, I want you to know that there's also a prophetic liaison. Run with me over to Malachi chapter number 4. If you hit Matthew, you went too far, and that's exactly what I just did. Matthew chapter number 1, turn page back over, and you get there to Malachi chapter number 4. And of course, this is closing out the Old Testament here. And they said that Malachi is the seal of the Old Testament. It's just how God has Malachi write all this stuff out is just the perfect conclusion to the Old Testament. And the last two verses, perhaps even more so than normal. Verses 5 and 6 says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now, we titled this particular point here, "The Prophetic Liaison." That word liaison, I'll get out in a moment, means a contact maintained by communication between units to ensure concerted actions and cooperation. Now here's the thing. You look at this. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the day of the Lord," and all that stuff. Did you ever read about Elijah and him showing up someplace? And there's supposed to be judgment and he's walking in like, you know, "Hey, everything's all good. Let, you know, I got candy canes and gumdrops here for people." No, man. Usually this boy walks in, we got fire falling from heaven. It's consuming a sacrifice. It's consuming 51 soldiers here, another 51 soldiers here. Or it's God's punishment coming down for disobeying Him. It's God's punishment for going to a strange God and asking for help and getting healed and that sort of stuff here. But this is talking here not about judgment on Elijah's part. Because it says there at the very end of verse 6, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That's God talking there, not Elijah. Something going on here. Back up and read the beginning of verse number 6. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. In other words, his mission was to turn hearts. Now, when we get over there into the New Testament, we see where the disciples ask Jesus, "Hey, what do what do the prophets mean that Elijah must come first?" And Jesus says Elijah did come first, and no one recognized him because he was John the Baptist. Did John the Baptist come here raining down fire on people? Was it fire and brimstone, lightning striking people, dying in mass? No. John the Baptist came preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Came preaching repentance. Came preaching to them that get right with God. Yes, there was some judgment going on there. He told Herod outright that it's not lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife. He got him tossed into jail. Sometimes we got to preach stuff that people aren't going to want to hear. Sometimes we're going to preach stuff that people do want to hear. So long as we're doing what thus saith the Lord, we good. When we start doing what we want, we bad. And not in a good way. But this says here that he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers here. The mission is for people to get their hearts and minds right, to get them lined up with God Almighty here. That's why he's a prophetic liaison. Things can work out. We can come together here. He's coming in the power of Elijah to make a difference, not make a destruction. But Elijah can not only be seen with this prophetic liaison, not only with a patient letter, but with purposeful language. Flip a few pages over to Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 28. And it came to pass about in 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, or Elijah. Let me just pause right there and say, I always like that. How did Peter, James, and John know that's Moses and Elijah? I can't imagine John reached into his pocket and he pulled out some baseball cards. He said, "Oh man, I got Moses' rookie card right here. You want to look at this? Hey, Peter, I got Elijah's all-star card right here. That's who those guys are." They knew. Absolutely wonderful. But watch this. Verse 31. Who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. I get all bubbly when I read that word accomplish. It's not that. Let me read it a different way. Who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which should happen to him at Jerusalem. Nah, that don't do nothing for me. Which should transpire. No. Which should accomplish. That's a deliberate word there. That is a purposeful language. And it says that they spake of his decease. They weren't there to talk about his destruction. They were there to talk about his glory, his passion that he was going to accomplish there. They didn't show up there so they could sit around and gossip. They didn't show up there so they could sit around and chew the fat. They weren't showing up there because, well, Moses wanted to finally get to see the promised land, and Elijah said, come on, I'll take you down here to the Mount of Transfiguration and let you look around from there. It wasn't none of that nonsense there. It was a matter of that they came down to talk to the Savior of the whole world, who, when He died there on the cross, not only bought yours and mine sin and paid for them there on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years before we would sin Him, but He also took and paid for their sins that had happened thousands of years beforehand. He accomplished this. That's wonderful. But Moses is dead. Elijah was raptured out. In other words, they're in heaven. Why in the world are they going to come back down here to this earth? Why should they care? They're in heaven. I mean, I personally, if I was in heaven, I wouldn't care one bit about what's going on down here. Matter of fact, you get over there to Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, verse number 5, it talks about how when people die here, their memory's forgotten. Is it a matter that we forget about them? No. It's a matter that they don't worry whatsoever what's going on here anymore. They're in eternity, one way or the other. But yet these men are coming here with a purpose. We came here this evening for a purpose. Trust me, I didn't need any of you all to show up here and hold these chairs down. They weren't going to float away. I didn't need nobody to come here tonight just to listen to me run my mouth. I can do that at home and pretend like my wife will listen to me every once in a while. I got an active imagination, okay? I can actually do it. Purposeful language, church. Going out and witnessing to someone. Going out and telling them, hey, you know what? I'm just as human as you. I make mistakes just as you do. But guess what? Jesus still loves me. It don't matter what nobody says. He still loves me. It don't matter what I've done. He still loves me. And He loves you too. And let me tell you how He can save your soul. That's a purposeful language there. That is a difference being made. That is warning them of the judgment to come. Warning them about hell. And that it is a very real place. A place of very real torment and fire. And how they desperately need to be saved. Because you're going to burn down it for eternity. In a place of outer darkness. Falling forever and ever. But Jesus offers you eternal life. And all it costs you is a little bit of faith to put in Him. Asking Him to save you. Yeah, they showed up there talking about what He was going to do there at Calvary very soon. We get to talk about what He did at Calvary. And that He's coming back very soon. But lastly here. I want you to see the pattern likeness over in John chapter number 1. And we are coming in the home stretch, I promise you. John chapter number 1, verse number 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask Him, who art thou? And He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked Him, what then? Art thou Elias or Elijah? And He said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And He said, no. Then said they unto Him, what art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So number one, He says, I'm not the Christ. Very good. Very important that we all get that through our thick skulls. We're not all that important. Okay? They gave Him, Brother John, every chance to claim to be, though. And people will give you every chance to claim to be something you're not. You can run with it, or you can run away from it. It's up to you. So then they said, "Art thou Elias?" Hey, are you Elijah? We know the prophecy of Malachi chapter number 4. We know that Elijah is going to come back. Are you the one? Yes and no. Now he tells them no. Okay, now here's what I'm talking about. No, he was not Elijah. Elijah's in heaven. He did not come back down. This is John the Baptist. John Baptist, as a lot of these commentators have put it, they eliminate the word "the." Fine, whatever, don't care. But he came in the pattern of Elijah. He came in his likeness. Because he is, as he said there at the end of verse number 23, a voice crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." He is there preaching the need to be saved. He is there preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He is there establishing, or maintaining, I should say, the pattern that Elijah had already done. Now they ask him, "Are you that prophet?" That goes back there to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 15, where Moses said that there's going to come a prophet, and him you will listen to. But he was talking about Jesus, not John the Baptist. Now as a baptizer, his role in the whole spiritual plan was simply preparatory. Get him ready. "Brother John, how many people have you saved in your lifetime?"
"I haven't saved any."
"Thank you very much for putting that correctly. I ain't saved any either. And someone who I saved, man, I feel sorry for them. Because they're really messed up. I don't do the saving. He don't do the saving. It's God Almighty who does the saving. It's the Holy Spirit that comes in bringing conviction. It's Jesus Christ who enters in and who saves their soul from eternity in hell. It's the Holy Spirit who takes up a residency in them." Our role is preparatory. Our role is to go and tell them how to be saved. Our role is to let them know judgment is coming. Now he had a message, but the message is always greater than the individual who's giving it. He said here, "I am the voice, not the word." John chapter 1, verse number 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." His job is to get the Word out, just like Elijah's job was to get the Word out. Just like our job is to get the Word out. Have you seen Elijah in your own life? Not as a matter of that you've got someone standing up behind the pulpit and they're preaching hellfire and brimstone. It is a matter in you, in your own life, are you manifesting your likeness of Elijah? Are you going out there and warning the lost and dying world? Are you going out there and being an encouragement and a help and comfort to someone who's fallen by the wayside? Picking them up. Hey, let's run over there to Jude real quick. That verse has popped in mind. I can't think how it goes. Run over there to Jude. There's only one chapter, so if you turn to chapter number 2 of Jude, you in trouble. Jude. Where is it at? Verse number 24. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of God." Good verse, not exactly which one I'm looking for. Oh, here it is. Verse 21. "Keep yourselves in love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save or rescue with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Our joy is to help others. Do you think Elijah liked calling down fire to consume the captain of the 50 with his 50? The second captain with his 50? That he liked going out there and slaughtering those 450 prophets of Baal after God Almighty rained down fire on his sacrifice and proved who was God? I believe his heart broke for him. But he understood they had to pay the price for their wickedness. Is our heart breaking for them? Or are we just occupying seats? I've got just one question this evening. Have we seen Elijah in our own way of serving the Lord? Have we seen Elijah in our own way of serving the Lord? Heavenly Father, we thank You for all that You've done for us. We thank You, Lord, for each and every one that gathered here this evening. I pray, Lord, that they got exactly what they needed out of this. And for those who will be listening later on sermon audio, that they would also get the help that they need from it. Help us, Father, each and every one of us, to be a better witness for You. To strive to go forward for You and in Your power and Your name and Your glory. To bring honor and glory to Your holy name. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.